Well, students, brethren and sisters in Christ, I'd like to take just a moment here this morning to publicly say to you a sincere and thankful thank you on behalf of Brother Hill and myself, on behalf of all those who have traveled to come to this Bible school. I have never personally received such a warm welcome from any Bible school in my life. And so on behalf of all of those of us who have traveled to you, the natives, the brothers and sisters of this area, I would like to say sincerely and with all humility, thank you. This morning, for a few moments prior to our memorial service, I'd like to talk with you primarily about that 17th verse which we read a few moments ago, and only a portion of it, for it says, or what I am concerned with is where it says, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give to him a white stone, and in the stone a name will be written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. Now this morning, the title of my talk is What is in a Name? Or let's paraphrase that and say, the future of the saints in relationship to the name. What is our relationship to this name? As there is an old covenant and as there is a new covenant, and the one covenant is involved in the other, and it leads also up to it, and as there are two phases of a fleshly Israel's relation to God's name, so there are also two phases in which the saints stand related to the name of Yahweh. The first is that in which they are called upon to bear the name without reproach while passing through this ordeal, of trial and tribulation, or this veil of tears. The second is that in which they are or will be for a name of glory. They will be for a name of honor. They will be for a name of renown in all the earth. When they enter upon the realization of the second, it will be a new name. It will be a new name, we pray, to us. To them, or after they have received this name, it will be a name which they have never experienced before, but which they will then experience not only as a relationship such as they have enjoyed amid suffering and the love and the joy of the family of God, while in their weakly flesh and their blood nature, but they will receive a new name or enter upon a new state, of things in which their experience will be glory and honor, immortality, even eternal life. This is, brethren and sisters, symbolically represented by the Spirit to John, as we read this morning, as being a new name engraved in a white stone. And it is said to be a name no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. Now, a name in the sense of a designation, a name such as John or Joe or Billie Jean or Mary Jo, is not given simply for the person so named to know himself, nor is it given for a person to know herself. But it is given as a matter of convenience for others to know him or to know her by the name that he or she has been given. It would be useless to give a man or a woman a name in this sense, that no man knoweth saving only he that receiveth it. Have we ever thought of it that way? If, however, the new name be understood to relate to the experience of a new state, consequently, upon the receiving of the white pebble of approval, then it is easy to see how, in the full sense of the term, no man know only experienceth save he which receiveth it. In other words, let us state this rather simply so we can understand it. Let's say that a business firm may be said to have have a good name. But no person can experience the goodness or the profitableness of that good name except the firm itself. Because while one person's experience may be similar to that of another, it cannot be the actual experience. So the name to be given to the saints in the future will be to each one a reward. It will be a reward that he or she will enter upon the enjoyment of, that will belong to each one separately, and which no man can know except he which receive it, or he that shall experience it. Therefore, as the one star differeth from another in glory, so also is the resurrection of the dead. The varied degrees of glory and the varied degrees of honor that the redeemed will enter upon under the new name, which will be individual and it will also be collective, will be at that time, we pray, as the shining lights of the new heaven, whose brightness will blend together at that time into one glorious system that will cause Yahweh in manifestation to shine in the heavens to the glory of His name and the joy and the blessings of all nations on the earth. Then and then only, brethren and sisters, will there be peace on earth and goodwill to men. And symbolically speaking, deity is taking out living stones And he is building up herewith a spiritual house today. Which house are ye? Says the apostle. And so he will, under the new name state of things, build out of these living stones a beautiful and a glorious temple, which will be, we pray, all the building fitly framed together and grown into a holy temple of the Lord, and for the habitation of God through the Spirit. We are, brethren and sisters, as it were, a quarry of nations, of countries, of peoples, of brethren and sisters, being hewn from the world to the glory and manifestation of Almighty God. This wonderful and this magnificent scheme is being elaborated today and is to be consummated in its fulfillment in the name which deity gave as the one by which we would be known, and that name is Yahweh Elohim, and which involves the promise, I will be, which promise comprehends his grand purpose to take out a multitude which no man can number, out of every kindred, out of every tongue, out of every people, and out of every nation, who shall be as many living and illuminated letters, which when put together by the ruler of the universe shall spell and shall pronounce and shall, we pray, declare his fearful wonderment and glorious name to the then blessed, or to the then blessed of the Adamic race, to which every knee at that time shall bow and every tongue shall confess, to the honor of him who ultimately shall remove from the face of this earth every vestige of the curse that sin and death shall have caused. And in the fulfillment of the promise, I will be, Yahweh shall be all in all. And so then, we can say, from the Bible standpoint, there is, brethren and sisters, salvation in the name. And further, the grand and the glorious purpose of the Creator and the Sustainer of all things is involved in that name. From the time of Adam to the fullness of time, when God sent his Son into the world, there were many, many road signs pointing down to the advent of him who is the first and who is the last. To him is the Alpha and the Omega in the divine program. The words, the seed of the woman, when it says in Genesis, there shall bruise the serpent's head, were the very first form in which the gospel was preached after our first parents were driven from the tree of life. In scriptures we realize that Abel by faith offered up the firstling of his flock as a type of the Lamb of God. Noah built an ark as another type. And as we come along down the stream of time, we have a multitude of types. All these types pointing to the one great sacrifice that was and is to bring redemption, we pray, to each one of us. By these and their faith in the covenants of promise, God was taking out of them a people for His name. Until the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world was heralded among men as a reality. He, God, inaugurated a system of things which is the antitype of all that has gone on before, and that system gathered to Himself a company of men and women and organized into what we call today an ecclesia. But by their enemies, the Jews, they were termed Nazarenes. But by Christ Himself, how were they termed? They were called disciples. They were called friends. They were called the sons of God. They were called children of God. They were called brethren and sisters of Christ. We read that after His death, they, that being the disciples went out among the Gentiles, and they were termed first at Antioch as being Christians. A new name which the apostles never used themselves except once. They never really used the name Christians. Once in Peter, or 1 Peter 4:16, seeming to prefer to address each other as saints. There they address themselves as faithful brethren. Brethren in Christ. In history, however, they became known by the term as Christians, and finally, by those who used that name, brethren in Christ, who were real Christians, where, in fulfillment of prophecy, we read that they were worn out and seem to have almost, if not altogether, disappeared from the face of the earth. And then what happened? And Christianity, a system of modernized paganism, became the universal establishment of a religion which is called today, and I quote, Christendom. From certain portions of the word, however, it is to be seen that there should be a revival of the truth in the latter days. There should in the latter days be a taking out of people by the same gospel preached by Christ. Not some other gospel. The same gospel teached by Christ and his apostles, who should be alive and remain under the coming of the Lord. And in this, the 20th century, that very people are to be found. They can be shown to be of the one body of Christ by a comparison of their faith with that of the faith of Christ and His brethren. These people do not belong, nor do they have an association with, the many sects called today Christians, or Christendom today. This sect hold fast to the one gospel preached by Christ and his apostles. Finding that their masters addresses them in the most affectionate terms, calling them friends, but more frequently, brethren, they respond to his affectionate overtures by accepting the term expressive of the most endearing relationship that can possibly exist. That name is Christadelphian. Taken from two Greek words, Christoadelphio, meaning brethren of Christ. Brethren and sisters, we claim this right from the fact that the disciples were frequently called brethren. And this we can be sure of, having a designation divinely given, because it comes from the very Savior himself and divinely expresses the real relationship existing between God's children and their once dead but now living head. And so, in closing, let us remember that the Christ, being the one in whom God is manifested, is the name. And the name is the person. Therefore, to say that there is salvation in no other name is the same as to say that there is salvation in no other person than in the Christ, the Son of God. And so the question this morning, then, what's in a name, can be answered in one word: the name of Christ is salvation. And we who have been baptized into Christ, we who have put on this name, we who, we pray, are striving in all sincerity, with all of our ability, to follow his precepts, if we do this, then salvation is ours upon his return. May God grant all of you this pronouncement. And in closing, I'd like to read one verse out of a Psalm 17. 17 and 7. For there it says, "Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest, by thy right hand, them that put their trust in thee." And as we approach our memorial table upon self-examination,
May each one of us say, and may each one of us pray, that we come to do thy will, O God.